other side of midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is the other side of midnight on 77 WABC. I'm Frank Moreno. I hope you had a good weekend. Did you see what the city council did last week here in New York? Now, let me be the first to admit, I recognize that we have a problem with garbage. I recognize that the landfills are filling up at an alarming rate, and I recognize the role that plastic is playing in that. That being said, I am not sure that the solution that the city council came up with on Thursday is the right way to address this. The city council passed something that they're calling the Skip the Stuff Bill to curb plastic waste from takeout food. So now, if the mayor signs this, once it goes into effect in 6 months, restaurants and food delivery services will be barred from providing plastic knives, forks, and condiment packets unless customers specifically request them. So I totally understand what they're trying to do here. The bill aims to curb single-use plastic waste that can't be recycled, and approximately 1.1 million pounds of single-use plastic foodware from New York winds up in landfills and incinerators every year. The people who pushed this bill say Skip the Stuff is going to put money back into the pockets of our small businesses while also minimizing the city's carbon footprint. If a restaurant or a takeout place is caught including plastic cutlery or packets without the customers asking for them, they could be fined about $250. Delivery apps would have to add an option for customers to request silverware and condiments. And I guess my problem with this is twofold. One, how are folks going to know whether or not a customer specifically requested something? Let's say a delivery person grabs some plastic cutlery and some ketchup packets and they stick it in the bag and they drop it off. How are they going to know? How is whoever enforcing this law going to know whether that person requested the plastic cutlery and the ketchup? What, are they going to have a transcript of every phone call? Obviously, I guess if they order online, it's easier, but a lot of people order delivery by phone. I certainly do. So what are they going to get the people that called for these delivery orders under oath to ask whether they've done it? And second, if this is such a burden on small businesses, nothing is stopping the small business from implementing this policy on their own. This falls into the category, I think, of feel-good legislation that is unenforceable and maybe unnecessary when restaurants are already in a position to do this on their own.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm Frank Moreno. There are about 30 states that allow you to serve as a judge even if you are not an attorney. And there are 7 states, including New York, that allow non-lawyer judges to sentence people to jail time, mostly for misdemeanor convictions. I don't know of any instances around the country that allow you to be sent to jail by a non-attorney for a felony. But for misdemeanors, there are plenty of places where you can be sent to jail by a non-lawyer judge. One of those states is New York. New York State has something called town justice courts in various parts of the state. However, there's one pretty important part of the state where you cannot get elected a judge if you are not an attorney. In New York City, you cannot get elected to either the civil court or the Supreme Court if you have not been an attorney for 10 years. Now, I would like to challenge this on an equal protection basis. I think it's crazy that in other parts of the state and in other states in the country, you can be a judge and serve as a judge without being an attorney, but because you happen to live in the 5 boroughs of New York City, it can't happen here. I have wanted to, for a while, bring about a constitutional test case where I would run for civil court this year in the hopes of overturning this New York State provision on equal protection grounds. Well, I spent a lot of time over the weekend talking with some of the finest legal minds in the state and the country, and the consensus among them is that it's going to be a very tough road to hoe to get this changed as a result of a lawsuit. So, I'm going to instead focus on lobbying the state legislature and the city council to change this. So if you think it's a good idea, if you think non-lawyers should be able to serve on the civil court, please reach out to your state legislator and say so. There's no reason New York City shouldn't be like the rest of the state, and there's no reason that New York City shouldn't be like 30 other states in the rest of the country.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WABC.
Local Spotlight.
On Thursday and Friday of last week, I spent some time talking about the possibility of running a quality opponent against Senator Kirsten Gillibrand when she's up for re-election next year. Well, the New York Post must be listening to this program because there's a headline, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand could face Democratic primary from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And if you read the article, it says that Democratic insiders are saying that Gillibrand could face a bruising Democratic primary from either Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or a similarly left-wing rival. Gillibrand was, of course, first appointed to the job a decade ago by former Governor Patterson, and last week she announced her intention to run for re-election. Now, the two-term lawmaker would be certainly formidable. Her campaign committee is sitting on more than $4 million. But AOC has more than $5.4 million in her campaign war chest. Ryan Adams, a New York City-based Democratic consultant who often works with progressive candidates, said she could do it. Oh my God, could she do it? He goes on to say, if she ran for Senate, the fundraising that would come in from all around the country would easily make her competitive, and nobody campaigns like her. Everybody would come out. The apparatus that would spring up around her would be unstoppable. People would fly in from other parts of the state to volunteer with her. I think Adams is actually right. I think there is a great chance that AOC could beat Gillibrand in a Democratic primary. And my pick in terms of Republicans to run for the seat is Andrew Giuliani. And I brought this up with him on Friday when I saw him here at the radio station. And basically, he said he does not see a path to victory for a Republican. Now, I understand why he says that, but I think it's a different ballgame if someone like AOC is the Democratic nominee instead of Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. I think she would turn off a lot of moderate Democrats and other similar voters. And I don't think the Republicans should give this race away. And I think they should work on trying to come up with a candidate now to run against Gillibrand next year.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WABC.
Local Spotlight.
Whether it's El Paso, Philadelphia, or New York, wherever the mayor of the city of New York, Eric Adams, is, if it's a day that ends with a Y, he is doing the same thing, which is he is publicly asking, really pleading and begging, with the federal government to help come up with some money to pay for the migrant crisis. And I am thrilled that Nicole Gelinas from the Manhattan Institute, in a column she wrote last week, seems to be the one person that is throwing some cold water on this. She's essentially saying Mayor Eric Adams thinks he knows what will fix the migration surge straining New York: a blank multi-billion dollar check from Washington. And she says, and she's exactly right, sorry, no, a blank check for an uncapped number of migrants would reward New York for its broken hotel shelter system and broken emergency contracting system. And she points out how Adams in El Paso, in D.C., he keeps trying to publicly pressure President Biden to fund the entire cost of sheltering, feeding, clothing, educating, and providing health care. Now, it is certainly true that Biden helped create this mess, or at least made it much worse, with no process for quickly determining who is a refugee eligible for asylum because of war or individual persecution. Instead, the White House is forcing people to wait 5 years for cases to be heard. In the meantime, they fall prey to sex traffickers and black market employers. But New York has created a mess of its own. At the border, when Adams was down there in El Paso, he says there's an image that when you come to New York City, that you're automatically going to be living in a hotel. Gee, how would migrants get that impression? During an emergency in August over the number of migrants seeking shelter, then 4,000, Adams vowed the city has a legal and moral mandate to provide quality shelter to everyone. So the point is this: Adams said New York is deeply committed to providing shelter and support to everyone. the city began directing migrants to hotels, including high-profile Times Square locations. This sends a terrible message. The city can't rely on hotel rooms. It has to rely on congregate shelter. And if you think that sounds cruel, what's your better idea? What's cruel is unattainable promises. And this isn't even just a money issue. It's capacity. New York only has 120,000 hotel rooms. The number of migrants seeking aid from the city is at least 40,000. And sometimes there are at least 800 coming every day. This is going to hit six figures in no time. So, Mayor Adams, before you run around the country and the world begging for money, fix New York's migrant policy.
Beam me up.
To be continued.